Chapter 5. Melancholy matter what they was up to. Which I wouldn't at once waste the time, and take the liberty, my dear. My father, resumed Phoebe, amending her text, is always on the bright side, and the good side. You told me, just now, I had a happy disposition. How can I help it? Well, but, my dear, returned Lamps argumentatively, how can I help it? Put it to yourself, sir. Look at her. Always as you see her now. Always working and after all, sir, for but a very few shillings a week, always contented, always lively, always interested in others, of all sorts. I said, this moment, she was always as you see her now. So she is, with a difference, that comes to much the same. For, when it is my Sunday off, and the morning bells have done ringing, I hear the prayers and thanks read in the Tauchingest way, and I have the hymns sung to me so soft, sir, that you couldn't hear 'em out of this room in notes that seem to me, I am sure, to come from heaven, and go back to it. It might have been merely through the association of these words with their sacredly quiet time, or it might have been through the larger association of the words with the Redeemer's presence beside the bedridden. But here her dexterous fingers came to a stop on the lace pillow, and clasped themselves around his neck as he bent down. There was great natural sensibility in both father and daughter, the visitor could easily see. But each made it, for the other's sake, retiring, not demonstrative, and perfect cheerfulness, intuitive or acquired, was either the first or second nature of both. In a very few moments Lamps was taking another rounder with his comical features beaming, while Phoebe's laughing eyes, just a glistening speck or so upon their lashes, were again directed by turns to him, and to her work, and to Barbox Brothers. When my father, sir, she said brightly, tells you about my being interested in other people, even though they know nothing about me which, by the by, I told you myself you ought to know how that comes about. That's my father's doing. No, it isn't, he protested. Don't you believe him, sir? Yes, it is. He tells me of everything he sees down at his work. You would be surprised, what a quantity he gets together for me every day. He looks into the carriages, and tells me how the ladies are dressed, so that I know all the fashions. He looks into the carriages, and tells me what pairs of lovers he sees, and what new married couples on their wedding trip, so that I know all about that. He collects chance newspapers and books, so that I have plenty to read. He tells me about the sick people who are traveling to try to get better, so that I know all about them. In short, as I began by saying, he tells me everything he sees, and makes out down at his work, and you can't think what a quantity he does see and make out. As to collecting newspapers and books, my dear, said Lamps, it's clear I can have no merit in that, because they're not my perquisites. You see, sir, it's this way. A guard, he'll say to me, hello, here you are, Lamps. I've saved this paper for your daughter. How is she going on? Apostrophe a head porter, he'll say to me, here. Catch hold, Lamps. Here's a couple of Williams for your daughter. Is she pretty much where she were? Apostrophe and that's what makes it double welcome, you see. If she had £1,000 in a box, they wouldn't trouble themselves about her. But being what she is that is, you understand, Lamps added, somewhat hurriedly, not having £1,000 in a box they take thought for her. And as concerning the young pairs, married and unmarried, it's only natural I should bring home what little I can about them, seeing that there's not a couple of either sort in the neighborhood that don't come of their own accord to confide in Phoebe. She raised her eyes triumphantly to Barbox Brothers as she said. Indeed, sir, that is true. If I could have got up and gone to church, I don't know how often I should have been a bridesmaid. But, if I could have done that, some girls in love might have been jealous of me, and, as it is, no girl is jealous of me. And my pillow would not have been half as ready to put the piece of cake under, as I always find it, she added, turning her face on it with a light sigh, and a smile at her father. The arrival of a little girl, the biggest of the scholars, now led to an understanding on the part of Barbox's brothers, that she was the domestic of the cottage, and had come to take active measures in it, attended by a pail that might have extinguished her, and a broom three times her height. He therefore rose to take his leave, and took it, saying that, if Phoebe had no objection, he would come again. He had muttered that he would come in the course of his walks. The course of his walks must have been highly favorable to his return, for he returned after an interval of a single day. You thought you would never see me any more, I suppose? He said to Phoebe as he touched her hand, and sat down by her couch. Why should I think so, was her surprised rejoinder. I took it for granted you would mistrust me. For granted, sir? Have you been so much mistrusted? I think I am justified in answering yes. But I may have mistrusted too, on my part. No matter just now. We were speaking of the junction last time. I have passed hours there since the day before yesterday. Are you now the gentleman for somewhere? She asked with a smile. Certainly for somewhere, but I don't yet know where. You would never guess what I am traveling from. Shall I tell you? I am traveling from my birthday. Her hand stopped in her work, and she looked at him with incredulous astonishment. Yes, said Barbox Brothers, not quite easy in his chair, from my birthday. I am, to myself, an unintelligible book with the earlier Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.